Lawrence Prospera is a community-driven, nonprofit organization committed to our mission of strengthening the individuals and families of Lawrence, Massachusetts through the development of thriving neighborhoods. CISU presents Hola, Honest Opinions with the Lawrence Attitude.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. We have a very special guest for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Andre X.
What up? Peace.
Nice to have you. Thank you so much. I know you're a very busy man, so let's jump into these questions right on. So tell us a little bit about your background information and if you lived in Lawrence your whole life.
So I'm born and raised Lawrence. Been here since 86. I did take a hiatus for like 6 years. I went to Florida after I turned 18. Between 18 and like 23, 24, I was gone. But yeah, born and raised, you know, my father's a Dominican immigrant who migrated here to New York with my grandfather. My grandfather was in baseball. But in all actuality, my grandfather was a revolutionary who had to escape from Dominican Republic. So they made up a baseball team so they can all escape with my grandmother. And they moved from Puerto Rico and then so on up till they got to New York. Then my father moved there. My mom's from Puerto Rico, so she's half German, half Puerto Rican. So she came here from Puerto Rico and they met in Lawrence, and I became me. So
wow.
That's my background story real quick.
Any stories that you've heard while you were growing up about your parents and their history a little? I'm just curious.
So I literally just found out about my grandfather's revolutionary thing this year. My grandfather lost him when I was 8. So me and my father don't really talk about him, but there's a lot of stories I don't know. My father didn't meet his mom until he was 6 years old. Because she was on the run, because she was a revolutionary. And so it was a very interesting story I didn't know about, and it makes sense a lot of how my father is, and you know, who he became and why he is how he is. And so it just makes sense to me, and I wish I knew these stories before. We could have connected a lot different, but now we're adult, you know, I'm an adult, so I get to understand it as a dad point of view. But so my mom, she came here from Puerto Rico. She's from Cagua, Puerto Rico. And she became a social worker in Lawrence for many years. And she helped a lot of families, a lot of moms, a lot of dads get their jobs. A lot of business owners right now, when they see my mom, they say thank you to her because she started them. They're all immigrants. You know, they came here and met my mom and she hooked them up.
Oh, wow.
And my dad's a police officer. So, you know, very community oriented, you know, like, the community is my family more than my family. Like that's how we grew up. So that's how it's been.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that you, it would be a great opportunity for you to like write a family history book of all those history, you know, stories that your family might, you know, be able to share with you, and just to keep it in the family. That's something that, they're doing in my family right now, because we have some very long history with civil war going on and between Honduras and El Salvador. And my great-grandfather, grandparent migrated to Honduras. So I do have some Salvadorian blood in me. But I wouldn't call them revolutionaries, but they were running from some form of civil war. And then my great grandmother was also what we would consider today sex trafficking or human trafficking. Was literally bought from a Mayan tribe, from my great grandfather that migrated from Spain and somewhere Italy. So there's a long history that they're keeping track of. My uncle is like writing the whole like the family history.
Oh, that's so cool! Yeah, it's cool to know.
To keep us grounded and to make sure we don't ever forget where we come from. Yeah, you know?
It's cool if you actually knew. Like, it's even cooler if you knew the origin stories of those people. Like, who they were personally, like personalities, or like what they went through, because I believe in reincarnation, and I believe that when we're reincarnated, that we're reincarnated through a family lineage.
Yes.
So like I'm, and that's why like you look exactly like one of your family members from like
I believe
back
that.
Then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And,
yep, yep.
And so I feel like we always have an identical. Every single time we have an identical, that's us coming back. And I really believe that. So I'm glad that you have at least a lineage to know what you... Like, I don't have my lineage. I met my great grandfather in Puerto Rico. He died when he was 104.
Oh, my God. My grandfather, too.
And my great-grandmother died when she was 102.
Oh,
and
wow.
They were still walking and talking.
Yes,
and,
yes.
They went senile around 90-something.
Mm.
So, but my great-grandfather still told me a story. He was, like, 99. He told me a story about who we are, like we come from Indian people.
Yes.
And he was telling me that, you know, we're we have that Taino blood in us,
mm-hmm.
and that and he's like just he said, look at me, I look Indian, I look like I belong in the campo, you know, I belong
mm-hmm.
here. That's why he goes. That's why I never went to America, because I belong here.
Yes, yes.
So, to me, it's like, all right, I hopefully in the future, like, I get to meet him again, and I can, you know, I can meet this person, because I feel like his passion at 99 for what he had for like his history. I love history.
Me too.
And the way he said it, I can feel the connection that he loved history too. I didn't even ask him if he did, but I could just tell like he's very interested in that.
Yeah, no,
cool.
I definitely, I highly recommend that.
That's so dope.
Definitely. What inspired you to get into the music industry? If you can share a little bit about
I
that.
I don't know what made me want to get into music per se. I do know what got me into wanting to do rap, right?
Okay.
My father, so the music part of it, my father came to Lawrence as a saxophone player.
Okay.
And he played he played in all the clubs, he had bands, he was in bands, he was in a big band in the 80s in New York. So he was a musician first. And him and my mom, when I was a baby, I used to, like, you know, watch them dance in my living room all the time. So there was music and saxophone playing and bands all the time around me. So I'm pretty sure subconsciously that's where the music love came from. But I want to be totally honest with you. The rap part came from seeing somebody from my city do it.
Okay.
So my father's a gym rat. He's always in the gym. And there was a local rapper who's universal now, but he was a local rapper back then. And his name is Terminology. And he used to work at this gym, and my dad was a musician, and they met at the gym, and my dad's like, oh, come to my house, I want to show you my equipment and my CD collection, you know, because I do music too. So one day he comes, and my dad introduces me to him. He's like, oh, this is Terminology. And I'm like, oh, shoot, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, I'm a rapper. I'm like, yeah. And in my head, I'm like, you're a rapper? Like, in my head, when you hear a rapper, all you think about is famous TV people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think you're going to see one in your basement, right? So that was my first interaction with a real artist like that. Someone that I was in that same element, right? Because he was in my basement. He works a regular job. He was a regular dude, right? He was a regular dude from the streets like we were, right? So that one moment is what... I've never told Terminology that this is the reason why I became a rapper, but this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is what inspired me to be like, I can do this too. The idea came from watching someone that I personally know become something else. Granted, they didn't become Drake, right? But it didn't matter to me. Like if you can make it somewhere doing what you love, because my father tried it, right? As a saxophone player.
Yes.
And he became a police officer. So the love for it was still there. He still plays the saxophone, but he's a police officer first. And so I wanted to be the opposite. I wanted to be music first. I wanted to love what I wanted to do, what I love, and then the rest will just happen. And watching Terminology, shout out to Term, you know, that really inspired me big time. It inspired me so much that I immediately started something with a couple of my friends, and we became something so big in Lawrence that it inspired us, a couple of us still to this day, to continue with our dreams. Wiz Dakota being one of them, myself being one of them, Christian Cartier from Mass Money Boys being one of them. A whole bunch, you know, there's a group of us from Lawrence that are still doing this, and we this is our passion. Like, this is what we want to do. Yeah, we have other jobs and do this other stuff, but this is what we want to do, like, for life. Like, I can tell because we're still doing it.
Yes, you know, that's a big sign.
I'm going on 16, 17 years doing this now, so it's not easy, but it's, if you love something, it's not supposed to be easy.
That's right. What can you share about your favorite artists, DJs, musicians that you work with? You just recently told me about Terminology.
Yeah.
But others, and they don't have to be a rapper. They could be, yeah, you know,
I don't per se have a favorite rapper. I do have people in my life that have inspired me to do different things. But if it's someone that's not in my inner circle, I would have to say people like Jay-Z inspire me.
Okay.
And it's not more of the rap thing. It's more of like the effect they put on the culture.
That business mentality that he has.
Yeah. Not just that too, but like more like, all right, like if Jay-Z is rapping tomorrow about a certain shoe, mm-hmm, people will go out and buy the shoe. Like that right there. Yeah. That kind of influence is a culture influence. Mm-hmm. And, I understand that. That's how I started with my crew when we were kids. We understood that without understanding it. We knew, like, this is our culture. Let's use it to our advantage. Mm-hmm. And so I want to get back to that. And that's what Jay-Z has inspired me to do. So that's one person.
Other than Jay-Z, what musicians do you think are going up and are inspiring now in the music, in the
in the main industry or like local or
Maybe I should specify to rapping, like a good rapper right now that, you know, if the audience might be listening.
Oh, man, voice, yeah, like
that's hot right now.
Yeah, the Kendrick Lamars, okay, J. Cole's, okay, the Childish Gambinos, the Kanye West.
Okay, Kanye West is there. Yeah, a lot of drama with him, right?
Yeah, because like, I love Kanye West because I like people that wear their truths. I'm that kind of person. I wear my problems. I'm not going to hide my problems because if I hide my problems, I'll never face them.
That's right.
Sometimes people hide their problems so much that they lose them. They lose the problem. Like, oh shit, where'd I put that problem? I put that problem somewhere. I know I have a problem, but where is it? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just face it head on. I'm the rip the bandit off kind of guy. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's why I like Kanye. He's a rip the bandit off kind of guy. He's just like, I'm gonna go for it. This is who I am. But yeah, those other artists I mentioned, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, they speak about real situations, pain. The other day I was having a conversation about Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how he can dumb it down to real ignorant stuff, but even when he does the ignorant stuff, there's still a message in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like once you get the message, like the song went from like super gangster to beautiful. You're like, wow, I get this now. You know, that's what I like about Kendrick's style. But people like that, you know, people that affect the culture. You know, like
definitely, I like Kendrick too.
Yeah,
and has the, like you said, it's intellectuality through music that actually makes you hear it and say, yeah, I see that, I see mm-hmm. that, and not just listening to the beat. Or not even paying attention to the lyrics. So he's one of those rappers that makes me want to listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, connect the dots.
Yeah. Otherwise, you don't listen to him because
that's
like,
right. Yeah. He's so
articulate and doing this stuff, and we're not appreciating it. It's like pointless. Don't even listen to it.
Yeah. Now, what struggles have you encountered in your career while being part of the music industry, or just your career in general now?
Where do I start?
Anything that you can share with us about that.
Money has been the most... In the end of the day, it all comes down to money.
That's true.
And if you don't have the funds to fund your dream, then it's going to be difficult to really get to your, you know, whether it's your funds, someone else's funds, but like you need money in this industry. There's no way you can do it without money. I have went to the lengths so bad that I started my own video company so that I can shoot my own videos. Mm-hmm. I started my own graphic design company so I can graphic design my own covers, because that's how much money you need to do it. You need someone for this, someone for that. So I became that somebody. Mm-hmm. I became that someone for everything, for myself. But it can work against you. I took a long time to learn these other things that it drove me away from what I'm supposed to be doing in my head, which is the music part. But now I have these other skills, and so I can get to where I want to get, but still need that money part, right? And it's we're doing other things to figure out how to fund our dreams, or the people that we're working with, how to get them on the same boat with us to get funds for their own dreams or aspirations to whatever projects they want to put out that we know are going to be culture-changing things, mm-hmm. right? I guess that's a big part of my struggle, too, is figuring out where I fit. I was a big person with pet peeves when it came to, like, you sound like this, you sound like that, or you should sound like this, or you should sound like that. Hearing that from all sides, it's like you're right in the middle hearing it, and it's like, damn, like, you're basically telling me not to be myself. And it's hard to hear that from people that you want validation for.
Yes, right? Very hard.
But I'm learning. This and last year have been my years of growth. I've been growing so much and understanding that none of that shit matters.
That's true.
I'm propelling. Right now, everything's going really well. But a big struggle, and will always be a struggle, is financial situation, always.
It's almost like you have to invest money to get money back.
Yeah.
And that, you know, requires you to have money in order to you to invest it and make money.
It's the point of investment that we're not taught as young, yes. as we're young. You said you came from a different country, right?
Yes, Honduras, yes.
So imagine the struggle and the things you had to go through to get here. Are you worried about investing money? No, you're worried about survival.
That's right.
And so we're all based and growing off of survival mode. And it's really hard for us. And that's the first generation that gets here. Like, my parents are the first generation ever to come to America to do their thing.
And right? Lay the ground, yes.
And so then I'm the second generation. And so, like, all I have as a blueprint is the crazy struggle they went through that I don't have to go through now. Because it's 2022. I don't have to go through that struggle. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to hit my kid to make them do something. Like, now I can talk to my child like a regular person. You know, like, I don't have to beat it out them like they did to me. Mm-hmm. Like, so the generational growth is so much different now. It's hard for the older generation to understand that. But I'm growing to learning this now. You know, we're stuck doing generational things we don't have to do anymore. You know, we don't have to do that.
And that's good news,
but
right?
But we should know. If we're going to break out of generational curses, then we should teach new things, which is like, oh, let me show you how to invest your money. Let me show you what an investment means. Mm-hmm. If I put in this much today, and, you know, and the banks are borrowing it so much, they're going to be putting a percentage back in there. You know what I mean? So, like, this is how it works. You know, like, so I'm trying to teach my own child how to do this stuff.
And that's important. Yeah. It's very important.
Super important. Because
it will benefit them at the in real life. You know, that's real life struggles. So who would you like to work next if you had to, you know, in a perfect setting? If you had to choose someone that you would prefer to, even make a song with, a rap song with, or just collaborate within the music industry, who would you like to perform with? An artist that's currently up and running now, or maybe just any other local artist that you see that has potential, and, you know, could come up to be a big famous rapper per se.
Yeah,
I've worked with almost everybody locally, so it's hard for me to be like, somebody locally, because I work with a lot of people. But if in a perfect setting where it's like I can choose who I want to work with.
Yes, yes.
If can I have two choices?
Definitely, please.
Right. And one side of, because one side of me is like, okay, I want to be selfish with this and use it as like, how can I propel my career with this setting, right? So like, I would do like a Drake, right? Because him, his name on something, he doesn't even have to say nothing. His name on it would do enough for me where I can propel my career to what I need to get, right? And then that financial situation would change because I'd be getting sponsors.
Definitely.
Right? So a Drake would be the top of my list for that side, for selfish me. For me, for the culture.
Uh-huh. I love how you put it together.
Yeah, for the culture, I would love to do a song with like Bad Bunny.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
You know, where it's like.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah. You know what? No, scratch that. I would love to do a song with Nicki Jam.
Ooh, I like that.
I'd rather do a song with Nicki Jam because he knows exactly where I'm coming from. Because he came from exactly this place.
That would be a beautiful collaboration. Yes. Now, what advice would you give to our youth right now that are struggling with, and this is going to be, you know, off the topic with music, but it's a reality that we see in the community we work with mental health, substance abuse, the housing situation that's currently going right now. What advice would you give to any youth that's struggling with such, you know, thing, or maybe with all three of them? Gang, you know, a fourth one, the gang activity that's going on right now. And not just and particularly to Lawrence, but just in general.
Just everywhere.
Yes.
So this is hard for me. I am not the advice guy. I preach not to take advice.
Okay. All right. That's an advice in itself.
Because everything's about perspective. What I might see as a struggle in a kid, he might not even know it's there, or she might not even know it's there. To her, it's normal. So who am I to be like, this is what you're doing, how you're living is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. The obvious wrong is obvious wrong, right? If you hurt somebody, you're hurting somebody. If you're doing bad, you're doing bad. You know what I mean? Like, we understand those levels of common sense. So if I was to preach anything, it's like, just use logic. You don't need advice. If you use logic, you don't need anyone's advice. Logically, what makes sense and what's the healthy choice to make, and make it simple.
I like that. I like that.
And if you're a kid and you think that you have no control over it because you're living with your parents, well then the only thing I can say, which isn't advice, it's more of a direction. It's like, you can't get over something unless you get through it. So there's no going over it. You have to go through it. And if your situation is that you're in a really bad one, then understand that there's something very beautiful coming for you. Always.
And stay positive, right? No matter what.
Yes.
Now, what can you share with us about your contributions or involvement with Movement City?
So I'm the performance coordinator at Movement City. I also am the music instructor there. My contribution there is I teach kids how to break out of that I'm afraid to be in front of people stage.
Okay, yes.
I teach kids that are on the spectrum to not let that be their handicap. Through music, I teach kids how to use their skills with music to make money, how to run it as a business. And I also give these kids show them that there's opportunities in their local venues where they can present what they're doing, connect people and network. I've also helped kids get into Berklee College.
Ooh, I love that.
Through Movement City as well. So Movement City is a big part of my music path and journey. So I'm very happy that I'm there.
And you're giving back to the community as well.
And I'm giving back. I love my job. I don't get paid $1 million. Okay, let's get that straight. But I can wake up every day and like like love what I really love what I do. I really, that's really important. I don't like, I used to work in, I used to work in Wendy's. I used to work in Red Lobster. I used to work in a warehouse. I worked for the police station, putting the cop lights up top. You know, I used to work for, I worked for the Lawrence High. I used to be a lifeguard for five. I did so much jobs, forget about it. And a lot of them are around helping kids. And so I'm like, I love music. I love helping kids. Why not do something that makes sense? And this, it's hard for me to leave.
You know, I can't blame you.
Like a lot of people that go to this, to these jobs, like a youth program, they're there for like 2-3 years because they're in there after college and stuff like that, you know, but not me. I came in as a adult, as a man already. Like I didn't go to college. I already experienced a lot of life, and I came in as like an experienced artist instead, being in the industry and doing things, you know, coming off a tour and doing stuff. And so like, I feel like that's way more inspiring for kids. They can see, like, and like I was inspired. I saw that, like, how Term was like, one day is in my basement, the next day is in the Drake video. I was like, what the hell's going on? So
yeah, yeah.
It's very inspiring, and I would love to be an inspiration. You know what I mean?
For sure. No, and I'm happy. You know, the community has individuals like you bringing back and sharing that experience. Yes. Now, what are your top five favorite books and or movies that you can share with us that you know that are your favorite?
Okay, my top favorite one movie that I can say for sure that I tell everybody to watch is Scarface.
I love Scarface.
It's
iconic movie.
It's iconic, but I want them, like, when you watch the movie, think about how much effort Al Pacino put into his part, and how I, as a little kid who didn't know about what actors were, but when I saw Al Pacino, I'm like, wow, this Cuban guy is really pissed, and he's not Cuban. Like, blew my mind. I've heard people act Jamaican and stuff like that, but like, I know they're not Jamaican, but this guy really got me. And he played a really good part, man.
Very good part.
And just the whole movie itself, like the way it was, the camera angles. I'm in love with film, so I was just like, yo, this movie's fresh. That's my top movie. My top book, I don't really read a lot of books, but the one that has been changing my whole life is The Four Agreements.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever heard that?
No.
It's Toltec culture. It's like, and you're from this like kind of like South America place. So it's written by a guy named Miguel Ruiz. It's about these four agreements, and it's the four agreements that you make with yourself and with the universe that are going to help you grow as a person. And for example, I'll just give you two examples.
Sure,
of two agreements. One agreement is don't take anything personal.
That's wise.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. Don't ever take anything personal, right? And another one of them is, I'm trying to give you a good one. Look at those four of them. So there's be impeccable with your word. There's always do your best. There's the one I just said. And there's no assumptions.
No exception, okay.
So if you understand each rule, they all fall under each other, right? If you have no assumptions, you can't take anything personal,
mm-hmm.
right? And one of them, and one of them is always do your best. So if you're always doing your best, right, you can't assume that you failed. So you can't take that personal. Mm-hmm. And you said you were going to do it, so your word was impeccable. So it's like, it just all goes together.
They're
all
intertwined
together.
It
blows my mind, but it's like, it's just common sense things. It's like, and it's all using logic. It's like, take your emotion out of everything you're doing. Emotions are strong. That's what makes us human.
Yes.
But emotion is what stops us from, the wrong emotion can stop you from the greatest opportunity.
That's true.
Because if you took one, if you go to a job interview and you had like the great energy and you had no skill to this job, but your energy was there, like I think you'd get the job. Some people would take energy over skills any day. Some people don't, like, so to me it's like energy is everything, man. If you take away all that negative emotion and like thought patterns, mm-hmm. and like this book, you have to read this book.
I like it.
It's a short book. It's like 170 pages.
Wow. That sounds like a very interesting and a very wise book.
Very cultural, too.
Yes. Is it like a self-help book?
It is. It's an inner growth book.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, give us one more movie or a book that you... perhaps a movie. One more.
Have you seen the movie Encanto? Encanto is the new Pixar movie.
No. Encanto. I have not seen it, but I've heard of it. Is it supposed to be a good one?
This movie is so cultural, but it's so subliminal.
Okay.
And if you watch it, you have to be aware of what they're saying to understand what they mean. Okay. So, for instance, there's a song called We Don't Talk About Bruno. And Bruno's like the mess up, the fuck up of the family, right? But
we all have one of those in our family.
And it's all perspective. Like, we all do have one of those in our family. But we also don't talk about our issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what every single time they kept saying we don't talk about Bruno, I kept hearing us as Hispanic people.
Yeah, yeah.
We do not talk about issues in our family. We just let them happen.
We
don't communicate. We just don't talk.
But
about
we love
it.
To communicate about other people's issues.
And that's the whole movie.
About everybody
the whole
else.
Movie, you're gonna picture they have somebody in the family for. You're gonna see. You're like, yo, that's my uncle. That's my aunt. Yo, they're like they pick the distinctive like personalities of people because there's always that person in your family that thinks they're the most beautiful one. Everyone's like, oh, she's the most beautiful one. Everyone has that one in the family.
Yes.
Everyone has the one that's like, oh, he's going to be the athlete. He's the strongest one.
Uh-huh.
They have, like, yo, the whole family is like your whole family. It's so crazy.
Wow. So you can relate to the movie.
It's so
crazy.
It's so subliminal.
So is it like they look close into the Latino families? Because Encanto is
Enchanted,
right?
It's a Colombian family.
Oh, it's a Colombian family.
It's a Colombian family.
Oh, my God. Okay. So
I believe they flee from Colombia. And they go somewhere else, and they end up with this strong magic connection to this place they found, and they all have powers now.
Okay.
And each power is like one's very beautiful. One can hear any secret. One can, you know, and think about it. Like, think about the one that can hear everything you're saying.
Yeah.
How many bochincheras do you have in your family?
Oh my goodness.
How many entremetidas do you have? Right. So it's like that's. Those are the things I'm talking about. It's like, wow, they really hit these like exactly where they need to hit them, and they portrayed it in like this old fashioned like movie, but it's like it's so good.
I've heard of it. It's on my list. Now, just the last question, and it's not even a question. It's more like a request. I know you did share a little bit about where. The audience can reach out to you via Movement City.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share any contact information to anyone that is willing to work with you from the from the music perspective?
Yes, if you are youth and you are fifth grade up to senior year in high school, come see me 168 Newberry Street, Lawrence, Massachusetts. We have plenty of programs and options there for you kids to learn and grow and create. Don't be stuck in your house playing video games. Come to my program and we'll teach you how to make a video game.
Ooh, I love that.
Like let's use these skills to not become robots. Let's build robots. You know what I mean? So let's do this. 168 Newberry Street, Movement City. That's at Movement City on Instagram. And me personally, I'm at WhoIsAndreX on Instagram, on everything. Check me out. So what I've been doing with my team is we've been building a showcase for local artists to present their things, showcase their talents. I try to get 3 artists locally and 3 artists from out of town so they can mix and match. It's called the Eclectic Showcase. I'm very grateful for John and them at the Spicky River Brewery. They're letting me do that. The kids from Movement City get to present their showcase there too. So I let like my older kids go and do like 1 song or 2 song, and they get fans. So it's really cool. We're really growing there. Very community based. I might have Gage come out one time and do his thing. Paul Gage. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he's a rock star. He's from out here too. So come check us out. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lawrence Prospera and is recorded in the multimedia room at the Sisu Center. Nuria Rivera is our host and Paul Thompson our engineer and director, with assistance provided by young adults at the Sisu Center. Technical support provided by Tony Schumann. Our producer is Paul Heithouse. Executive producers are Jay Bartosik, Ralph Guerrero, and the Lawrence Prospera Board of Directors. Thanks to the generous support of the City of Lawrence, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, and the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Thank you to the New Balance Foundation, the Filene's Foundation, the United Way, the Nordson Foundation, and the Essex County Community Foundation. And a big thank you and shout out to the Maximus Foundation. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, a very special thanks to our guest for sharing their stories with us today.